Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now I can preach it like this, okay? Repent! Or I can tell you, change your mind. Preaching repentance in the area of consciousness of sins is dishonoring the work of Jesus.
Repentance means you realize you're guilty, that you deserve the wrath and punishment of God. You begin to realize that sin is in you, and you turn your back on it in every shape and form. You renounce the world, whatever the cost, and you deny yourself and take up the cross and go after Christ.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What should a faithful follower of Jesus do when you are confronted with slanderous reports and accounts of unsubstantiated accusations?
That's a great question. This is Wretched Radio to answer. That non-rhetorical question is the voice of the person who just asked it, Mike Riccardi from Grace Life Pulpit. Heard this sermon on my trip to Nashville, Tennessee for the Teach Them Diligently conference and thought it was so convicting and helpful to battle against the sin of murder, which is the same as slander. You slander, you are standing against the blood of your neighbor, said Moses. In other words, slander kills your neighbor. Let's let Mike Riccardi not just convict us, but to help us battle this insidious sin. This is going to be a bit unusual. I'm going to zip it and let Mike do the preaching because, frankly, I couldn't add a single thing that would embellish this amazing presentation on a far too common sin, slander.
Number one, don't stoke the fire. The first directive to what to do when you're made aware of unsubstantiated reports that reflect negatively on someone is that you must not repeat them. And that needs to be said first because that's precisely the natural inclination of our unglorified flesh. We hear a juicy rumor that strains credulity. We can barely believe it ourselves. Maybe it's something that was terribly disappointing, something we could not imagine being true of the person spoken of. And you say, there's no way. Maybe it's something that's not surprising at all. Maybe it's just another disappointing example of something you've come to expect from someone, something you've long lamented in their character. You say, not again. Either way, we hear it and we seek solace in venting our frustrations to our friends. However that makes us feel, we've got to get it out of ourselves. And so we have our friends listen to our unfettered ventings and having them affirm them to us. You're right. You're all I know. You're right. Of course I'm right. But friends, Scripture explicitly condemns this. Turn again with me to the Proverbs chapter 26. And let's look at verses 20 and 21. This is the text from which I draw the language of this first point. Don't stoke the fire. Proverbs 26, verses 20 and 21. The text says, "For lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisperer, contention quiets down. Like charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is the contentious man to kindle strife." I read it again. "For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, contention quiets down. Like charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife." If, as James says, the tongue is a fire that sets entire forests ablaze, we need to remember that if we deprive a fire of wood, there's nothing for it to burn. So also, the sage says, if we deprive a controversy of whispering repetitions of unsubstantiated claims, or shouting repetitions of unsubstantiated claims, as the case may be, if we deprive the controversy of that, eventually it peters out and dies down like a fire with no wood to burn.
Brilliant.
But the opposite is true as well. If you're a contentious person, rather than remove the wood from the fire, you only add to it. You only stoke the flames. You blow on it. Let's make the embers ignite. You kindle strife, and you act against the life of your neighbor. So don't stoke the fire. Don't repeat the slander. Don't pass on the juicy rumor. Don't parrot unsubstantiated claims. Don't reply to the anonymous Twitter troll with 8 followers and give him a platform for his nonsense. Proverbs 10:18 says, "He who spreads slander is a fool." And again, as we've already quoted, Proverbs 11:12 says, a man of understanding keeps silent. And don't even repeat it in the vague generalities that, you know, leave out the gory details, but nevertheless give just enough information to make your hearers curious. Flip back to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18 and verse 8 says, the words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. You need to recognize that it is just naturally interesting for unglorified sinners like you and me to listen to gossip. And when people tell you about a matter, even if they only start talking about it and they leave out enough details to soothe their conscience that they're not divulging the entire story, no matter, you are hooked. You need to know now. It's like dainty morsels. It's like delicious treats going down into your soul. And once you have one, you have to have another. You need more of them. They're like those chocolate-covered crepes that Costco sells at Christmas time. They are so good, and they're so light, so that when you eat one, you can't help just having another one, and another one, and another one. Before you know it, the whole tray is gone, and you can't move. Solomon says, gossip is like that. Somebody says, so did you hear what happened? You say, no, what happened? And then they say something that you realize right away you shouldn't be hearing, and that's the first chocolate-covered crepe. And though you know, you should just ignore it, leave it alone, change the subject. You can't just have one of those dainty morsels, can you? And so you press for more and more and more. And before you know it, you're acting against the life of your neighbor. So what's that mean? In the illustration I'm giving, we're the ones being spoken to. Oh, you're feeding me these dainty morsels. What if it's us as the speaker? You need to realize, friends, that if you whisper like this, you are unfairly laying a snare, not only for the person you're gossiping about, whose reputation will suffer from that, but also for the person you're gossiping to as well. Even when you try to say very little and you just keep it vague and you just try to give them enough but not too much, you're giving them that first chocolate candy. You're tempting them to push for more information, information you're more likely to give once you know they're interested and they're itching to hear more. Well, I wasn't going to say, but since you're asking. Don't act against the life of your neighbor, whose reputation is tarnished by your words, and don't spread a net for the steps of the people tempted to listen to you. Let the fire die down. Instead of acting against their life, love them, as is only fitting for a Christian to do. Proverbs 17:9 says, he who conceals a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. And what's so interesting about that, Proverbs 17:9, if you think I'm reading it wrong, is that the sage acknowledges that it's a transgression that the loving person conceals. He who conceals a transgression seeks love. Now, of course, there are times where we must expose sin. Absolutely. Ephesians 5 says that. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful deeds of darkness. Instead, rather expose them. And there are proper channels for that. What do? You go to your brother first. You seek to win him over. If he doesn't repent, you take two or three with you and so on. There's a way to do that. And it's not publishing the matter on social media. And it's not gossiping to everybody else to say, hey, do you think that I should go to this person or not? Why? What did he do? He did this. Perfect. Okay. You've vacated the course that Scripture has laid out for you by seeking counsel. So there's a way to legitimately expose sin, but the loving brother or sister takes no delight in exposing the shame of their fellow believers. If it's got to be done, it's got to be done. And we will do that. We will be responsible before the Lord to exercise our duty to expose the unfruitful deeds of darkness. But we never do that with some sort of maniacal, just delight. Oh, I'm going to get this one. Another one bites the dust. No, there's an instinct in the believer for love to cover, not to broadcast the shame of the beloved. So don't stoke the fire.
That is step number one. Mike Riccardi offers three more, but that's enough to chew on, isn't it? Question, do you ever stoke the fire after work. You come home and you dump on your spouse what you experienced that day by people who were deficient. Are we seeking their good? Are we concealing their transgression? Or are we killing our neighbor? Question number two. Do you share news stories? These days, let's be honest, there is very little, frankly, if any, actual news. This is what happened. It happened at this time. This was the consequence. Here's the names. There's the address, period. You don't get that. Virtually every story you read has an angle. It is slanted based on the biases of the authors. And you're consuming it. And if you share those things, guess what you're doing? You're passing along a false report. Are we really supposed to be this uptight? Yeah. Yeah, we are. Why? Because your God never slanders you. Jesus was slandered, and he did not revile back. He's our model. He's our example. And if we want to be like him, we will not pass about false reports or unsubstantiated claims about people who, frankly, we think even deserve it. How are you doing with step number one regarding gossip? This is Wretched Radio.
Well, are you tired of all the chewed up furniture in your house? Would you like to get your new puppy trained? Well, we cannot help you with that, but what we can do is improve your marriage, help you become a better parent, help to improve your theology, and help you to learn to control your emotions, all with our new Wretched Bible Studies, which were derived from our resources Drive By Marriage, Drive By Parenting, Drive By Theology, Jesus Unmasked, and Stressed Out. These studies are perfect for youth groups, adult Bible studies, and of course, your own personal Bible studies at home. Get one or all of these studies right now at wretched.org/study. That's wretched.org/study. Now, while we can't do anything about your dog chewing the leg off your couch, what we can do is help you learn how to react more biblically to that. So just go to wretched.org/study. That's wretched.org/study.
Numbers. Who doesn't love numbers? Okay, I don't, and maybe you don't either, but you are going to be thrilled at these statistics from preborn.org. Since 2007, there have been over 500,000 pregnancy tests. Whoa. 42,000 women have professed faith in Jesus Christ, and over 123,000 babies' lives were saved. You can have a direct impact on the battle for life in a country that is increasingly opposed to life. While the government is busy trying to take the lives of more children, you and I can be saving babies and saving mommies because Preborn, they provide free ultrasounds, and they also preach the gospel. Babies get saved, and so do mommies. Would you please help grow these numbers by supporting Preborn? You can do that at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for joining us here today at Wretched Radio. You know, we're always appreciative of you feeling like we're important enough to spend part of your day with. And maybe you want to keep up with all the happenings at Wretched. Well, every month, Wretched sends out a newsletter that covers tough theological issues, and it keeps you up to date with all the things new at Wretched. And you receive updates not only on what's going on at Wretched, but you're also going to get thorough and in-depth messages on a wide range of theological issues that Christians face today. So if you want to get the Wretched newsletter in your email box each and every month, just head on over to wretched.org/newsletter to get signed up. That's wretched.org/newsletter. And while you're there, check out our donate page and find out all of the information on becoming a gospel partner and prayerfully consider helping us spread the gospel all over the world. wretched.org/donate. That's wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Important dates in Christian history. 1793. William Carey sails as a missionary to India. In the next 40 years, he would oversee more Bible translations than had previously been produced in all of Christian history. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
For words that might change your mind about conspiracy theories, this is Wretched Radio. Mike Riccardi preaching on the really wicked sin of standing against the blood of your neighbor. Moses equating slander, gossip, spreading rumors, believing rumors, even hearing rumors is akin to killing your neighbor. And these days, rumors abound. And perhaps you, evangelical Christian, you've been buying into a lot of conspiracy theories. Perhaps these four words will change your tune.
Don't stoke the fire.
That is the number one step in responding to slander, which is akin to killing your neighbor. Don't stoke the fire by receiving, pondering, and passing along what is gossip. What are conspiracy theories? Well, they are purportedly the things that are really going on behind the scenes. But they're not proven yet, but we're pretty sure this is what's going down. Is it possible that by listening to conspiracy theories and maybe sharing them, that you and I are stoking the fire? Why is this an important thing to consider? Because right now it appears that evangelicals are more inclined than probably any other demo to pass along by believing conspiracy theories that we hear on the internet or perhaps at even church. But if the standard for slander is that we do not stoke the fire by entertaining them, then maybe, just maybe, that will help me know what to do with conspiracy theories. Perhaps you've been consuming a lot of them. Let these words convict you. Don't stoke the fire. You're listening to unsubstantiated reports. Now, please note, as we're going to hear from Mike Riccardi, there is a difference between gossip and slander. Gossip is sharing tittle-tattle that may actually be true. Slander is intentionally sharing because you want to defame somebody. Either way, wouldn't a conspiracy theory fall into either camp? Spreading of information that has not been verified, because it sounds like it could be true, but we don't know for sure. But by hearing it, by consuming it, and then by regurgitating it, we're stoking the fire, and we're not supposed to be doing that. We're supposed to be ones who speak truth only for the edification of people, not for the hurt. And even when we go, by the way, about the business of church discipline, which sure appears to be contrary to the prohibition to not be slanderous or gossipy, we're doing it because we love that person. It's not done as backbiting or backstabbing. It's done because we care about that person. And so it is done motivated by love, in love. Because it's necessary, because an individual is in danger. When you hear the latest conspiracy theory, do you know it's true? And the answer is going to be no, you don't. We'll know it's true if it happens. But until it happens, it falls underneath the category of unsubstantiated rumor, gossip, or slander. However you want to slice that pear, you still have the prohibition to not be doing it and to not stoke the fire. And I share this with you, perhaps, if you happen to be one of the people who doesn't know what to do about all of these conspiracy theories. I don't, some of them seem so true, some of them don't. I don't, you know, they've got a grain of truth inside of them. I kind of don't stoke the fire. You just, this admonition will help you to know what to do with them. Don't. We'd have no business in that realm. It doesn't belong to us to be figuring out what everybody is doing behind closed doors. And we are not supposed to be sharing them, which is to, as the Proverbs teach, stoke the fire. I know they're pleasing. They are dainty morsels. They are. Makes us feel better. We feel like we're in the know. We might even be helping the next election by sharing this so that somebody understands how horrible the Democrats are. But if it's not news, and even if it is news, by the way, and it doesn't edify, we don't stoke the fire. Remember the admonishment from the Proverbs that love conceals a transgression. And as Riccardi said, yeah, there's times that we do that. Church discipline would be one of them. Discipling one another would be another time. But for the most part, we're talking about information that we discover somebody done something wrong. Love keeps it inside. I would ask you a question. Have you ever done that? This is absolutely anecdotal. I'm speaking from personal experience on this. Because believe me, my wicked heart is inclined to gossip just as good as anybody else's. But I remember years ago, I can't remember how many now, I tried it. I tried to conceal something, to not share what I knew about somebody. And I'm just telling you anecdotally, it felt really good. It felt good. And I cannot help but think that is a part of the blessedness of obedience. Psalm 1 talks about it. The Psalm 119 talks about it. The joys of being obedient to not being engaged in tittle-tattle. And I cannot tell you that God operates on some sort of karmic system. Oh, you didn't share gossip. I'm going to get you a $5 bill. Doesn't work that way. But because the Bible tells us there's blessedness in obedience, and that blessedness, by the way, might actually be painful as a part of it. You're a child, you do something naughty, you admit it to your parents, you did what was right, and you feel the sting of your rebellion. It can hurt, but nevertheless, there is blessing in it because you're going to grow in some way, and you may never feel it, but the Bible promises there is blessing in it. And if you withhold a dainty morsel, true or not, confirmed or otherwise, if nothing else, you may not even actually be able to say, yes, I had that sensation, but you're growing in holiness. And isn't that a blessing? But I would challenge you to try to strive for perhaps more discretion than you currently do. Let's forget QAnon theories for a moment. Let's just talk about the conspiracy theories that you and I hear regularly. In the church, out with friends, we talk about people. We all have a little Mrs. Kravitz in us, and we love to hear it. Instead of hearing it, and instead of passing it along, what if we just concealed it in our heart? Didn't share it with anybody. You got a coworker, and you caught him doing whatever. And it didn't involve thieving from work. It's a scenario where, you know, somebody just, you walked into their office and they were napping. All right. Shouldn't have been napping. Do you have to tell everybody on stage? You know, it's the cutest thing. I just saw Jimmy napping in the office. It's not the cutest thing. You're not concealing a matter. Whatever the scenario is, I'm telling you, just try it. Because I remember the feeling. In fact, I still get that feeling today. A sense of, hey, by not doing that, I'm actually walking in godliness and bridling my tongue. It feels good. And by the way, these types of things will actually increase your assurance when you do things like this. When you find yourself zipping it when normally you would just open it up and let it fly, you're going to start realizing, whoa, the Lord is working in my life. He is actually bridling my tongue. He's getting me under control. I'm no longer setting forests on fire. Wow. And you're going to have assurance from it. Might I challenge you to do that? And just as an aside, was reading an article. I don't know how accurate this might be. For real, that sounds like gossip. It's just an encouragement. It happened to be an article about the number of pastors who are actually leaving their churches because of all of the gossip that is going on with all the conspiracy theories, and they're not participating in them. Here's a statistic for you. Poll released in January by Lifeway. 45% of Protestant pastors said they had often heard congregants repeating conspiracy theories about national news events. Another survey found that more than a quarter of white evangelical respondents believed in QAnon. Those rates were the highest in any religious group. Let's let Mike Riccardi, more specifically the Bible, pull us up. Save your pastor some pain, if nothing else. Of all places, at all times, when we should have the ability to talk about the best subject in the universe, which is Jesus Christ himself, shouldn't it be in the confines of the four walls of your church? Instead, we're sharing tittle-tattle conspiracy theories? Do your pastor a favor. Do yourself a favor. And do everybody a favor. Ixnay on the Ossip Gay. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. A new California bill that's intended to prohibit hate group members from becoming police officers would also prevent conservative Christians and pro-lifers from serving in law enforcement. The bill, AB 655, was introduced in February by Democratic Assemblyman Ash Cara as the California Law Enforcement Accountability Reform Act. The text of the bill would require that background investigations be conducted to determine if police officer candidates have engaged in membership in a hate group, participated in hate group activities, or made public expressions of hate. The California Family Council and the Pacific Justice Institute say the bill's language is so broad that it would exclude members of non-hate groups, including police officer candidates affiliated with pro-life groups and conservative Christian churches. That's because the bill defines hate group as an organization that advocates for or practices the denial of constitutional rights of any persons based upon race, ethnicity, nationality, religion, gender, gender identity, sexual orientation, or disability. By that definition, groups that oppose abortion and same-sex marriage could be labeled as hate groups, according to the California Family Council and the Pacific Justice Institute. Both abortion and same-sex marriage are constitutionally protected under Supreme Court precedent. The bill is scheduled to be heard by the Assembly Public Safety Committee on April 6th, according to the California Family Council. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem has announced that she will sign a bill this week that will ban abortions on babies just because they have Down syndrome. Earlier this month, the South Dakota legislature unanimously passed a pro-life bill to ban discriminatory abortions on unborn babies with Down syndrome. The unanimous 35-0 vote in the state Senate took place less than 2 weeks after the state House also unanimously passed the bill 68-0. Introduced by the governor, State House Bill 1110 would prohibit abortionists from knowingly aborting an unborn baby because the baby has or may have Down syndrome. Exceptions would be allowed if an abortion is necessary to save the life of the pregnant woman because her life is endangered by a physical disorder, if no other medical procedure would suffice for that purpose. Previously, Noem celebrated the unanimous passage of the bill and said, quote, "It was good news seeing that kind of agreement on important issues." More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. 1 Timothy contains Paul's instructions to his protege for church leadership. Paul exhorts Timothy to confront and correct false teachers and to preserve sound doctrine through church structure and preaching of the word. The church has a responsibility to preserve and maintain the truth given by God in his word. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Time for church news. Before we get to church news, I just had a synapse fire. Hey, it happens on occasion. Those words, the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. He is the foundation of the church, not Peter. Jesus is the foundation of the church. And even if you want to argue, but what about the foundation being laid by the apostles? Well, what was the teaching of the apostles? It was about Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, the foundation of the church. From heaven he came and sought her to be his only bride. With his own blood he bought her. For her life he died. Maybe those words will encourage you to focus on what is important to Jesus. Right now, there's an increasing temptation to be distracted by what's going on in the world, consumed by the carking cares of the world. Don't forget about your local church, serving in your local church, serving the body of Christ. These are the things that matter. Don't lose sight of your church and what Jesus is doing in this world by gathering together elect from every nation. That is what he is doing. Pursue those things, and it'll take your eyes off of the distracting things of our world. And it's getting increasingly difficult to do that, but you might want to put some secretariat-like blinders on and just keep your eyes on the race that is in front of you for the building of the church. And in line with that, this is where the synapse fired. Thought about Jordan Peterson. Jordan Peterson, who appears right now to be struggling a lot emotionally. He also seems to be struggling with figuring out what to do with Jesus Christ. And I happen to be reading through my Bible in my 9,422 hours of private quiet time the other night. And I stumbled across Colossians chapter 2, and I thought of him, and I couldn't help but think of all of us, the entire church. The simplicity that is in Christ is a theme in the Bible, that we keep life simple. We keep our thinking focused on Christ, because when you tend to get distracted with a lot of things, even things that can be good studies, and I'm not saying you should abandon them, I think we find ourselves in trouble. Here's what Colossians 2. I want you to know how much I have agonized over you and the church at Laodicea. That was Paul's heart. He's laboring over the church. This is his concern. Paul could have been a really rich guy, well-educated, lots of power, famous. His concern is the church. That's it. I'm concerned. I'm agonizing over the church. Agonizing over the church. And for many other friends who have never known me personally, my goal is that they will be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. Are you and I consumed with that too, focusing on that? That's not the verse that got me to Jordan Peterson. I want them to have full confidence because they have complete understanding of God's secret plan, which is Christ himself. In him lies the hidden treasures of all wisdom and knowledge. What treasure chest should we be seeking on this earth? Him. But now we finally get to Jordan Peterson. I'm telling you this so that no one will be able to deceive you with philosophy, persuasive arguments. For though I am far away from you, my heart is with you, and I am very happy because you are living, and you should because of your strong faith in Christ. So that you do not get deceived by philosophy, but instead we focus on Christ. And I wonder if that isn't what Jordan Peterson needs. He's a philosopher. He's a student of history. And he thinks too much sometimes, because he's trying to harmonize everything in the world. And that's not doable. Yeah, not for an unbeliever. It's attainable for somebody who's a Christian. Not that we're Gnostics, but it is attainable because we get what? The mind of Christ. And increasingly, we understand the world and we come up with correct categories to slot everything into. Jordan can't do that. And so what I suspect Jordan needs is Christ. Christ, him crucified, reasoning with Jordan from the scriptures that Christ had to suffer. I wonder if that's what you need or somebody in your life needs too. If you've been wondering, okay, what book can I get them to deal with their Jungian philosophies, their psychology based on Carl Jung, which is Jordan Peterson, by the way. His worldview is based more on Jung than it is on Jesus. What book could I get him? Give him Christ. Give him Christ. Preach the gospel. Preach the law. Preach the gospel. Preach the law. Preach the gospel. Maybe you and I need to be that focused and mindful of what it is that we are trying to do. We should be doing the very thing that Jesus is doing. He's building his church. He's gathering together the elect from every nation. And we cannot lose that simplicity. We cannot lose that focus. No, we don't become dum-dums. It doesn't mean we never study. That's not the point. That's the other ditch. But the point is that we stay on point. What's the point? The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She's his new creation. That's what he's building. For the praise and the honor of his name, for the praise of his name, for the praise of his name, for the praise of his name. Four times in Ephesians 1 through about verse 11. I wonder how often you and I fail to remember that in evangelism and in raising our kids. That was my synapse. Let's get to the actual church news, shall we? Hopefully, as I speak, our pastor friend up in Edmonton, Canada, has been released from prison. He has been put in jail because he refused to abide by the health laws of Edmonton. So he was arrested and put in jail. By the way, maybe you saw this story. I think you can't help but notice a striking resemblance. That Canadian father who was put in jail because he didn't want his minor daughter to become a boy. And this, did you read the details on this story, by the way? Woo-wee doggy. I got it right here. Hoogland, I hope I said that right, maybe it's Hoogland, has been outspoken in his opposition to what is now known as gender-affirming medical care. Let's just call everything medical care. You know, somebody isn't on death row, they're on medical care row. They're just going to get zapped with a lot of electricity. It's medical care. Gender-affirming medical care, he stood against it in hopes of preventing his daughter from undergoing that. His ex-wife, who is supported by the Canadian medical and legal system, is proceeding with their child's transitioning against his wishes. Here's the details. When his daughter was in seventh grade, her yearbook showed her being referred to by a different name as the school counselor changed her name without informing her parents. Because parents is dum-dums and they need educators to tell them what to do or not let them know because they might believe in that Bible. Because we're so dumb. The school decided to do so on its own after having received input from psychologist Michael Wong, a known gender ideologue. Wong reportedly advised Hoagland's daughter to take testosterone and referred to her, ouch, an endocrinology unit at a nearby hospital without their knowledge. When Hoagland contested the matter in court, the judge at the time held that his consent was not relevant. And that if he did not affirm her as a male, he would be implicated in the criminal offense of family violence. Well, he broke his silence, called his daughter, a girl, a she, a feminine. Jail. No kidding. Oh, Canada. Something that we might have to start getting used to, Christian. One of these days, by the way. Not ready to yet. Going to share with you the observations of the world regarding the shooting in Atlanta and how the world is perceiving evangelicals. Not ready to do that because I don't quite have everything formulated just yet, and it would be unwise to speak prematurely and thoughtlessly. But if there's anything that I think is agreeable, for the first time in American history, the attitude toward evangelicals, woo-wee doggy, the way that they're talking about the things that we talk about. They're going in now to listen to sermons from the pastors of the church where this kid came from so that they can catch him, find something ridiculous and terrible about him. Well, why? Because the tide has turned. You've got evangelical pastors going to jail in Canada. We've always observed that Canada is just a little bit ahead of America. Great Britain might even be further ahead of Canada. But the shifting in the tone of the world toward evangelicals regarding gender and now racial issues? Ooh, in this world, you will have trouble, and it does appear to be brewing right now. This is Wretched Radio. Yes, you're busy, but I suspect you could spare 2 minutes if it saved you $500 a month. Please call MediShare for 120 seconds. They will give you a quote on affordable biblical health sharing, an alternative to health insurance. You get free telehealth services, a huge network of doctors, customer support, people praying for you, and 400,000 members sharing one another's health burdens. That is what MediShare is about. And on average, you will save, whether you are a single or a family, $500 per month. It will take you 2 minutes to make a phone call and find out how you could be saving and have peace of mind. Got 2 minutes? Call 844-34-BIBLE. 844-34-BIBLE.
Well, you know the old saying about men not stopping to ask for directions, or men not really asking for help from anybody in general? Well, as a man, there's some truth in that. But let me also break down all those barriers right now by asking for your help. Not with directions, but with Wretched. See, we can't do what we do at Wretched without the help and support of God's people just like you. 83% of every dollar you give goes directly to ministry. Now, that's not us bragging. That's an ECFA fact. Because we're ECFA approved. Check for yourself. And from one man to all of you, would you please prayerfully consider becoming a Wretched Gospel Partner today? All you have to do is visit wretched.org/donate or text the word Wretched to the number 44321. That's wretched.org/donate or text the word Wretched to the number 44321.
You say Edith in Romania, they say Edith.
Burdened by the hopelessness surrounding her, Edith prayed for a way to bring the gospel to Çakale. Since she started in 2008, she has discipled more than 100 children in this small village, and countless lives have been changed.
If you have never been to Romania, permit me to draw the picture. Think poor, forsaken, dead town in the middle of nowhere. That is where the Tomorrow Clubs thrive. Kids clubs bringing the gospel to small villages. The kids get saved. The parents get saved. The church gets revitalized. And this is happening all over Eastern Europe, courtesy of the Tomorrow Clubs and you. $30 a month, 30 disciples. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Clubs? TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Attributes of God. God is omniscient, meaning he knows all things. He knows all things past, present, and future. God does not learn new information, and nothing takes him by surprise. He knows what will happen and is working all things for his glory and the good of those who love him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Legal news from Wretched Radio. From Wretched Radio. All kinds of legislation going on that may be of interest to you if you happen to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it is good to occasionally put our fingers in the wind to figure out which way it is blowing so that we know how to live wise as serpents, gentle as doves. The two issues that, of course, are afoot in virtually every big news story these days either have to do with sexuality or racial issues. That's pretty much it. That is the focus of our current culture. Why? Romans 1 comes to mind. Cambridge, Massachusetts, the second city to legally recognize polyamorous relationships. If you Jimmy?
Yep.
Could you just take over the program for a moment?
Okay.
I've got to call the slippery slope back. It's looking for an apology from... Yeah, hello, Slippery. Yeah. Yeah, it's your friend Todd. No, I'm all for you, Slippery. It's just I'd be like to apologize on behalf of the world who didn't believe that these social issues on sexuality and gender would be a slippery slope. So on behalf of our culture, I'm sorry, Slippery. It's good to have him on speed dial. Need him a lot these days. Home to Harvard University. They must file a registration stating that they are, quote, this is awfully burdensome, I don't know, in a relationship of mutual support, caring and commitment, and intend to remain in such a relationship for as long as it makes sense and works out for them. Otherwise, they can get married as a threesome. Did you know that there is a polyamory legal advocacy coalition? That's right. When we were told that this type of thing would never happen, don't be ridiculous, you evangelicals. Just because we want gay marriage does not mean that we're going to suddenly be having polyamorous councils for legal advocacy, which gave input concerning the change in Cambridge, said in a statement they hope that, quote, it will be a wave of legal recognition for polyamorous families and relationships in 2021. After all, love is love. Also, there's another coalition who praised the move. Members of the American Psychological Association's Committee on Consensual Non-Monogamy. Well, isn't that... Consensual non-monogamy. That's a fancy word of saying you're sleeping with a lot of people in your bed at the same time, and everybody's okay with it. So as long as there's consent, then everything is just fine. The slope... Has it slipped all the way? No. No, it hasn't. Why? Because, perhaps you heard the story in Milwaukee, a judge who was arrested on child pornography charges, who served as the president of an organization that offered a drag queen story hour club, Judge Milwaukee, reportedly uploaded the child porn from his home in Wisconsin that he shares with his husband and their two adopted children. Now, the people from the Drag Queen Story Hour Club were repulsed by this. These are the people who have drag queens going to libraries to read transgender stories to little children. They thought this was absolutely horrible that this fellow was doing this. And my response to them would be, what happened to love is love? Child can consent. Don't you know? And incidentally, that is an exercise that on occasion it's really good to do because you will be shocked at how much prophetic ability you have. Think of the dopiest defense of an atrocious behavior, and it'll likely be used soon. You go ahead. It's been discovered that kids who are in sexual relationships with adults, turns out, they get higher SAT scores, and therefore, clearly, it's a good thing. You say, that's totally preposterous. I say it's entirely possible that that will be used or something like it. As dopey as a thing you can imagine will likely be soon. You didn't think we'd be here, did ya? And we are. And we will continue slipping down that slope because sin knows no bottom. We keep asking, where's the bottom of the barrel? And I think the answer is there isn't one. The human mind is capable of a lot of amazing things. Consider technology. We can do that stuff. Medicine, phenomenal. Transportation, amazing. Sin? Nah, we're not so good at that. Are you kidding me? We are amazing at sinning, and the world will just keep digging and digging and digging and digging and digging because it must, because sin's appetite is never satisfied. It always wants more, it wants more, it wants more. And the human being who consumes sin will need to consume more and more and more perverse and more grotesque. That is the very nature of sin itself. It deceives, it's never satisfied, and it always leads to death, ultimately, because the father of lies He is a murderer from the beginning. Joe Biden asked the Supreme Court to drop cases challenging the ban on Title X funding of abortion clinics. That's really bad news. But he doesn't send out mean texts. So, overall, I guess he's the better choice after all. Okay. I just find it staggering. I'm sorry. I keep hearing the words of Romans 1. Professing to be wise, they become as fools. Every single decision that is perhaps causing you consternation these days in the news regarding politics, these are people who profess to be wise. It's just amazing to me. I was at the gym, you could probably tell, looking at the news monitors and the scrolling thing, and apparently there is now a crisis at the border. No, I'm shocked. You mean people want to come to a better land when you just open up the border and you don't enforce it? Who would have thought such a thing could happen? And then I read that Joe Biden, however, is dealing with the problem because he said to the people of Mexico, if you can't come here legally, don't come, which we all know works. Then, to make sure that people didn't get upset about what's going on, they did a media. This is all from my reading of the scroll at the gym. Media blackout at the borders. Yes, it's a mess. Yes, children are pouring into the country. They're being like 600 kids a day coming into the country. Where are their parents? What's going on? How are they being used? What? It's just bad. Just bad. So what do the people in power do? Well, just don't show any pictures of it. Okay, rather than dealing with it, fixing it, changing the policy, no, just don't show it. That's just foolishness on display. Nothing more than just utter, I refuse to say that I was wrong. A New York bill would create comprehensive sexuality education for kindergartners. Hey, that's the time when your kids need to be learning those things. And by the way, mom and dad, foolish you if you thought that was your choice on when to do that. Mississippi governor signing a law prohibiting biological males from competing in girls' sports. Yay! What? We have to do this? Yeah, we do. This is what's needed these days. Legislation. The governor said, I never imagined dealing with this, but POTUS left us no choice. One of his first acts was to sign an executive order encouraging transgenderism in children. Jimmy?
Yes?
I'm sure this Tate Reeves fellow, the governor from Mississippi, yeah, is nice and all, well-intentioned. But just remind me, I do need to send him a note.
Okay.
Just reminding him that POTUS doesn't tweet mean things.
That's right.
So just calm yourself down. There.
He's a nice guy.
Sir, all kinds of legislation that is intending to do what? Romans 1. It is tied to the sin of sex outside of marriage in any form that people desire. And we should anticipate that there will be more legislation that is going to continue to do that. And please note, should you choose to spend some calories trying to get legislation to blunt that, I say, good on you. That is a kind thing to do. But as Christians, the reason that these laws are being codified is because this is what our culture wants. And so if we don't want these wicked laws that hurt women and children predominantly, these people, they need a Romans 1 heart change. They need the... They're doing Romans 1. Now they need 2 through 6. They need the rest of Romans. They need the gospel. Because if we do not have more people believing correctly, they won't be thinking rightly. We will have more laws that are horrific, bad, terrible, awful, and do not help any semblance of human flourishing. So don't take your eye off the prize. We can study the legislation. We can see what's happening. We can try to get better legislation in. But what the world needs now ain't better legislation. It is the gospel. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.